Hello and welcome to the special mini episode of the Business of Show Business with me, Jamie Waddy. I recently got a sneaky peek press screening of a brand new film called California Scheming. It's a wild story which is based on true life where two aspiring Scottish MCs and rappers basically reinvent themselves as Californian hip-hop artists to break it into the UK music scene. It is absolutely wild. It is the directorial debut of James McAvoy. It's a hoot. I got to chat to Seamus MacLean Ross and Samuel Bottomley. The film was out on April 10th, so I hope you enjoy it and make sure you head down to your local cinema. Cheers, guys. Thank you so much for joining me. I know it's probably a very busy junket day, so hopefully this will be an effortless one.
Thanks, man. Lovely to chat to you. Not at all.
First of all, this is a wild story. From watching the screening yesterday and then obviously reading up about it, what was your reaction when this kind of script kind of approached you? Because it's out there, isn't it?
I was thinking, how lucky am I? I just saw Dundee, James McAvoy rapping. Sounded too good to be true. And then I met Sam Bottomley in the audition room and something just clicked where I just felt like I need to do this. And it felt so fun. I was making McAvoy laugh in the audition. We were improvising. It felt just easy to do it. I just knew I could play this character, and I can't believe I'm sitting here talking to you now after filming it all. It does still feel like a bit of a fever dream.
Yeah, no, definitely. And maybe even touching on that for both of you, and with, you said, mentioned there about improv and maybe obviously SNL's just launched over here. As actors, do you feel having those improv skills or maybe it's a good to have kind of in your tool belt?
I feel like I'm getting better at it as I get older, but I remember being young and being really terrible and like feeling really uncomfortable when it comes to improv. But I think once you know the characters and you know the material and just chartering where you are in the scene, in the scripts and stuff, you can actually do it. But I think Seamus is probably a bit better than me, just a bit.
And I think the key to it is having fun, and I think me and Sam did that, and with James was with us too. It didn't feel like we were performing. It felt the lines between director and actors were kind of blurred, and it felt all inclusive and just playful, you know.
Mm-hmm. Say of you, Seamus, but I've asked you the same question, Sam, as well. With the characters of Gavin and Billy, you're rooting for them, even though they're essentially pulling off a huge lie and doing people a disservice. So as actors, or was there any internal friction at all, or was you kind of like,
Well, I've played characters before who are morally dubious, but I think that's why that it's interesting, you know. Like, I love TV shows where I'm rooting for a character I know is morally questionable. That's what makes, but people are that. We've all got skeletons in our closet. We all do things we're not proud of, and there's a lesson to the story of like a pursuit for something. What are you going to sacrifice to get that? And that is a driver for me. I can connect with that. I can play that. And it's actually fun to kind of play someone who's being a bit mean and doing things wrong, because it's active. It's actually harder for me to kind of receive things and like let things impact me, because it's got less action to it, if you know what I mean. Like, there's less to do when you're just being affected, whereas affecting others is more fun.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing is you're in your villain era, is what
man,
I'm hearing.
Bring that up.
Samuel, same question to you, really. How was it kind of, because your character is maybe has more of a moral, you come back to it maybe a bit earlier on, so how was it for you playing this role?
I think it's lovely to play characters that have got different layers, which is definitely what we found in that, in them two characters, with them being not only Scottish and then doing the American thing and then having the whole like moral conflict about what doing. It was something that my character I didn't really think about it too much. It was definitely like there, but like you say, I come round to the idea of it not really being a good idea quicker than Seamus. And then what changes with my character is sort of becomes worried for his like stability and like where he's at, more than sort of worried, always worried about like getting caught, or this is a bad thing, you know, people are caught up in this with us. But I feel like my character actually focused on like, My mate's kind of losing grip of what's going on here.
It's and getting too much, you know. Maybe, like.
Yeah, my relationship with my girlfriend and stuff, and everything's kicking off. So, like, there's loads of little layers that you can play, which is great. You need that, man. It's hard. It's so hard to play a character with few layers.
Yeah.
I think the more layers,
it's not real, is it?
The more enjoyable. Yeah. Layers, layers,
and
layers.
I think do correct me if I'm wrong, I just remember back in the day when I used to be a performer, but was there almost a case of art imitating life? Because I thought the two characters on screen, you are, they're practicing nonstop, they're cold calling record labels and producers, travelling for auditions. That is very similar to the life of an actor. Was that cathartic or triggering in a way?
Yeah, I mean, not knowing where you're going to be at the end of the day is very much like, you don't really know what you're doing on a shoot, everything can be mad.
Your next
you
job,
don't know
where
your
it's
next
coming
job
from.
Is. It's quite, yeah, it can be
all actors
scary.
Want to do is work. So does musicians. Yeah. All they want to do is play in front of a crowd.
Yeah, I suppose we are. It's similar sort of thing. I suppose they are entertainers, aren't they? And they are like talented guys.
It also didn't feel like with actors. Sometimes it can be kind of personal and a bit of isolation, comparison with other people and stuff like that. Whereas with this, it's a team effort. Acting's never really a team effort. It's about, you know, you're not going to castings. It's a double act.
And you think about the rejection that they got, like the rejection. It's their lyrics that they're writing, it's them like spitting it. Like it's a very much more of a personal rejection to absorb than like it's not our writing.
Exactly.
We turn up, it might be a different eye colour or hair colour or your two
sides. It's their world they want to share. It's their interpretation of the world.
So you won't be getting any frosted tips on your hair in real life anytime soon,
Sam.
I'd
love that, actually. I'd love that.
With them both. And also with Mary, they work in that call centre, and that's another thing that will resonate. A lot of listeners of the podcast are fresh graduates or currently in their final year. That idea of that part-time job, the side hustle, the survival job, whatever you call it, maybe what were some of your earlier jobs alongside performing and maybe how they helped ground you a lot more?
You've never had a part-time job,
have
you?
I've never had a job, no. I've done
loads of things. I was a labourer for a summer. Getting some cash, so skinny, picking up one wooden plank at a time, getting a wheelbarrow license, you know, go and get some glass nails, tartan paint. Like, I was a waiter. I waited for a while. I even tried to become like a, after I left drama school, I didn't even bother doing it, but like a, I don't even want it. It was like a nursery storyteller that you'd come in and tell stories.
No way.
Yeah. I had to do a self-tape. It was quite, but I was like, is this where drama school's led me? It was a self-tape of reading like nursery stories. And I was like, is this what I've trained 3 years for?
That'd be lovely.
Luckily, I ended up getting a wee small TV job, so I was all right.
Lovely. And what was the audition process like for this film? Was it self-tape? Was it in person first round? How was it?
In person, it was self-tape once, in person on the second go, and then chemistry on the third go. That was my experience.
Yeah, exact same. I had read with four different Billies.
Yeah.
They were all great, but Sam was the one that was just something literally clicked. It felt so easy, man.
We chemistry test together, and it was my last.
Yeah, I was the last two.
With you. Yeah, yeah.
A game when we sat, Sam just got back from South Africa or something, and absolutely smashed it, and we just had so much fun together. Like we're just laughing our pants off, weren't we?
Yeah, we had just fun, didn't we? And that's sort of where it. That's where we got it. That's where it landed. Yeah.
We improv there. We were throwing some. You were improvising.
Throwing some mad lines out.
Oh yeah.
Was that the jet lag maybe from travelling? You're like, I'm just going to go with it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
How was it also working with James McAvoy? It's obviously his directorial debut. Was it quite like a collaborative experience? How was that?
Yeah, massively collaborative and like so scary, but actually like so beautiful. And we're so grateful, man. We're two very, very lucky boys on set. And we remember being like, pretty starstruck at first, and we sort of had to like get our heads around doing it. So you know, we're gonna have to stop like gawping at everything that he says and does. But like, it was amazing. He actually gave me a note in Hedwig, which is a character from. I've not told anyone this, but like, he gave me a note. I was like, "Can you just give me this in Hedwig?" And he was like, "What is it? Give me an impression."
I can't remember.
Oh, guys, basically, what I want you to do, and like, put the lips on.
Basically, what you do.
So like as much as it was really intense and it was like his first thing, like we had so much fun doing it and we got to be in the presence of like literally greatness between him, watching him and the DOP work and watching how he orchestrates this set that's going on around him for the first time, by the way, you know, like his first time doing it. It did not feel like we were working with a first time director. It felt like we was working with an absolute legend, which is what he is, man.
And I guess for you guys, it's probably, he obviously knows it 360 from being on set a lot to then into the director's seat. He's probably just spewing out like golden nuggets without even realising.
Oh yeah, 100%. Even in the audition room he wasn't he?
Oh, hell yeah.
But it's just his focus, man. The guy just drops in like that so quickly. there's no getting into character behind. You just can just turn it on
and dropping
you just have to
like
you just have to match
like
that energy. Yeah, let's see if we do.
No, I absolutely loved it, and it's one of those things. I went in kind of like, what am I going to expect? But it's like, it's gritty, but the drama, like, and it's almost a caricature as well, because how they got away with so much. It was a really lovely like juxtaposition almost of the groundedness, but then also like, how is this so out of worldly?
It's kind of mean, isn't it? It's like they're having all their wishes met, but it's actually also the thing that's kind of killing them and tearing them apart.
And
for both of you, obviously you're playing Californian accents in this, but obviously you're both Sam, I believe you're from like Yorkshire, Seamus, you're from Glasgow. Regionality, and I think the whole idea now that you don't necessarily have to be in London and that regionality is a USP. Have you got any advice maybe for actors who'll be listening about that, who think they have to maybe move to London or to something like that?
I think it seems to be cooler and cooler nowadays to be from the regional places, like which I'm all for, you know what I mean? I'm not hating on that at all. That can stay for me. I don't know. I feel like I'm a very good example of not having to move down to London. You know, I think like 10 years ago, your agent would say, like, you're going to have to be down here to do it. You know, if you're from Scotland or if you were from the regional parts of the country.
Yeah, but I live in Glasgow too. I've not. Yeah, you look all that, my right? TV jobs have been in Scotland, which is great. And I think the industry is changing. There's so many more
100%
opportunities up north and in Scotland.
Self-tapes are a thing and stuff like that. Like, you don't need to, man. The work, if you're good enough or if it's right for you, the work will come to you, man.
And you don't need to talk in RP.
Shakespeare
and received pronunciation. You can do it in Scottish and it sounds class.
I think it's actually good for us though, because I've grown up more like you become accustomed to adopting accents that aren't yours, which is can only be another string to your bow as an actor.
Know.
You know, like sometimes not everyone wants to hear a Bradford accent.
I think the industry are bored of everyone sounding from the south of England. Like, there's too many stories of people talking in the same voices. Like, the UK is a big place. We've got loads of interesting people here, and I'm so glad our film gets to show just a little piece of that, of like our patter, our lingo, and bring it to the world, man.
No, definitely. A lot of the listeners will resonate with that, because I work with a lot of college students who worry sometimes of like they have to move into the machine of London, or they have to lose their accents. I think that will resonate a lot. Guys, thank you so much. I absolutely love the film. I've got to let you go. Make sure you rest up. Have a vocal zone. You've got a lot of things to go
today. Thank you, mate. Thanks so much for chatting to us. Glad you enjoyed the film.
No worries, guys. Thanks again.
Bye.